Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.
Has there been a point in your journey where you felt like giving up?
Daily, you know, yeah. I mean, but very short-lived. Yeah. I had the curse of you just, I couldn't quit.
Now on to the show. On the show today, we have CU Collaborate's very own Sam Brownell. They have launched a new software that helps credit unions measure and benchmark their social impact. Really cool stuff here from Sam, so check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have a longtime visitor of the show, Mr. Sam Brownell from CU Collaborate. Sam, good to see you again. Happy New Year.
Good to see you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome. And speaking of new things, you guys have launched a new software that kind of helps that does help credit unions measure and benchmark their social impact. So this really kind of piqued my interest, and I had to have you on the show, not just for this sake, but just good to see you again. It's been a while, but yeah, I'm excited for you guys. So tell us a little bit about this new software that you guys are launching. Give us a quick elevator speech here, if you will.
Yeah, so I should be much better at elevator speech than I am, but it is fundamentally a data consortium and analytics platform. But really what I'm excited about with it is that it allows credit unions to quantify, measure how much benefit they provide their members and vary down to specific products.
Okay.
And also social impact. The way I've sort of thought about it is, I started CU Collaborate 8.5 years ago, I think now. But prior to that, I worked at Callahan & Associates, and Callahan & Associates had a thing called ROM, Return of the Member, which I think is a very good effort with call report data, but like, the whole idea of having different sort of performance metrics that quantify and measure how successful a credit union is at fulfilling their mission, right? So like what all of the ratios that are sort of like easy to quantify with call report data, I'm going to say are sort of like bank ratios, you know, like profitability, ROA, net worth. It's about being a financial institution and profitability, and not really focused on member benefit or social impact.
Mm-hmm.
And really to quantify those things accurately or meaningfully, you just can't use call report data. So we had to make a platform that uses credit union's internal data. And the thing that is nice about it is it's the data set that it's the ARIES file of a credit union. So it's like, and whether they use our software or they do it themselves, there's so much data, so much you can do with the data in a credit union's ARIES file that can answer, how good a credit union is at fulfilling their mission.
Well, I guess my next question is like, so how does it work? Because a lot of this stuff is kind of almost, I don't want to say intangible, but when you're looking at a social impact, a lot of it's like, it's the eye test, you know? So give us a quick summary on how it works exactly. And then how does it benefit the credit union down the line?
Yeah. So I'm going to go on my own soapbox for a second, okay. Which is in our movement, there's a lot of focus on community and social impact. Now it is not it is a buzzword, or, you know, it's a top of mind topic right now. And too often, this is my own opinion, obviously, but I've seen when credit unions talk about that, they talk a lot about like charitable giving or like community service hours. And it's sort of like these anecdotal, like, we are good Samaritans or participants in our community, and sort of like community engagement stories.
Yeah.
Rather than really quantifying impact, right? So you can be like, we volunteered 40 hours, or we gave, I don't know, $1 million to this hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But that's ultimately like charity giving, and it's not really even what a credit union exists to do. And the thing that we wanted to look at is like, how much is the credit union's like financial products? Like, what is the benefit that they're creating for their members and in their community?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What is their contribution to the economy in terms of like contribution to GDP, jobs created, sustained. Yeah. How well are they serving people of different income strata, people of different races and ethnicity, credit tiers, you know, people who live in rural parts of the community or economically distressed community parts of the community. So sort of like, what is the impact of, in my opinion, well, what credit unions really do, which is solving like financial problems for their members and for their members, obviously their community too, that they're serving. And I believe, and we're starting to get some of the data that shows this, which is like, you know what? You might actually create, you might be more effective at creating positive benefit in your community than you realize you are. And actually, maybe you shouldn't give that $1 million to the local charity and rather, you know, have $10 million more in deposit products that creates benefit for members and puts more money in the pockets of the people in the community or, you know, lend more. Yeah. And that actually the credit union's own core operations are a better utilization of the money than giving it to someone else.
So so having said that, so what's the why behind this? What sparked this idea? Was it to give credit unions more information, more data on their value in the community, on their impact in the community, so then they could take that message and use and spin it into maybe a marketing message, or take it to Capitol Hill, like at the GAC or something like that, and go, hey, here's the data, this is the impact that we're having? So what was your kind of immediate inclination to do something like this?
I'm going to say all of the above, okay. But I think the sort of at its core, it came from a couple of things. One is our chief economist, Luis Topeka, loves to say, you know, if you can't measure it, you can't improve it. And so I think if credit unions like aren't looking at these things, you know, talk to lots of credit unions and their like MCIF systems and they're looking at like profitability. Mm-hmm. And if you're thinking about like what it means to be successful as a credit union, it's really like balancing mission and margin to best serve their members, right? So it's like there, you do need to make profit, net income, build your capital through your operations so that you can extend the benefit you provide your members to still more people. I think it is a moral import. Like I'm fundamentally what a utilitarian, but like, you have a moral imperative to extend the benefit that you provide your members to more people. Mm-hmm. I think that, so I think that, and then you need to also manage your credit union to not take on too much risk. So like, you know, you need to build capital to get scale, to extend the benefit to more people. So you're constantly sort of balancing profitability and member benefit against each other. But if you're not measuring member benefit, how do you know if you're succeeding as a credit union? And I would argue that a lot of credit unions right now know that they can be a well-run financial institution, but don't, I think on a high level, they know that they're providing benefit for their members. I mean, if you look at macro data, credit unions provide tangible benefit compared to banks. That is just a fact. How much and how can you improve it, and what products create the most benefit, and who are you helping the most? And part of the data consortium is also hopefully to try and help credit unions identify, and there's a graph that I could share with you if you want to see it, but like there's a academic research that shows the basically like benchmarks credit union risk-based pricing against bank risk-based pricing. And credit unions risk-based pricing is lower than banks, but at like super prime, that difference between rates is very little. And then at lower tiers of credit, actually credit unions member benefit is disproportionately larger for riskier borrowers, quite frankly. And if you're thinking about sort of balancing mission and margin, you're trying to sort of thread that needle of creating the most value while still running a financially responsible, AKA probably profitable lending program. And you need to make enough profit to keep building the capital and having a safe and sound credit union so you can extend that same benefit to as many people as possible.
Right.
But if you don't know, you know, I've I am sure that we will have clients who, when we do this, they'll have not a story that they're excited to tell, right? Like, if you're not measuring it and you don't know what it is, you might find out you create a negative member benefit. Like, there must be individual credit unions out there that is true for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I also would guess they don't know. Right. It's like, how do you align your mission and make sure you are providing positive member benefit and maximizing your member benefit without, if you're not quantifying it, if you're not measuring it, if you're not comparing it to other credit unions and learning from other people who are doing it well, how they're doing it well.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause I mean, as you're talking, I'm thinking about this is taking it to a whole nother level to really, more effectively have an impact on your community and on your members. So I mean, obviously credit unions are doing a good job at what they're doing right now, but this sentence seems like it really takes it to another level to where you can be way more effective in your efforts in making an impact, a positive impact to your members and your community. So is that kind of what you see? Is that kind of the bigger goal here is what you're looking at too as well, or something
else? Yeah, it's just more like accurate. It's like a more accurate way of doing it than what is currently out there. So I will just say CUNA has been doing member benefit for years. You know, if you look at, I think every year they have the sort of like average member benefit for a credit union member. They have it down by product. I think that you could even go to CUNA and they can do it like for your credit union. But the flaw in their model, or the thing that we improve upon it, is that the data sets that are publicly available that they're using can't consider the risk profile of the borrowers. So like if a credit union just lends to super prime borrowers, like their loan portfolio is going to show that they lend at very low rates. Right. And then they're being like, that's going to make it look like they create a huge member benefit. But we actually know that the credit unions that create in general the most member benefit are actually lending to lower tiers of credit, because that's where there's the biggest difference between the average credit union rate and average bank rate. And right now in that model, those credit unions, so I'm going to just broadly call it like CDFI type credit unions, you know, ones who have embraced risk-based pricing and designed products to serve lower income or lower tiers of credit. In the current model right now, they would have a negative member benefit, when actually when you consider the risk profile, you take into account the borrower's credit score and benchmark it on individual product level, which is what we've got like 20 years of data from credit bureaus, and basically do risk-based pricing benchmarking for every product the credit union has originated, then you can see like sort of the true member benefit down to the individual member, down to the individual product they have. But then, yeah, exactly as you say, and this is, we made a big push to get it out so that credit unions could do it for GAC, you know, on a community level, community impact reporting, saying like, in this congressional district, your constituents have this much more money in their pocket because our credit union exists. You know, there are this many more jobs, there are this many, this is your economy in your congressional district, this much bigger, you know, 30% of the members that we serve or borrowers we serve are from rural parts or economically distressed parts of your congressional district, or we're serving people, you know, the percentage of the, you benchmark it against the demographics of the community so that it provides context. But, you know, how well are you serving the different groups that lawmakers care about you serving, basically.
And when you analyze it through this stuff, you'll be able to better serve those members who really need it.
If you look into the numbers and you're not doing what you want to be doing,
you can make an improvement.
The benefit of the data consortium is, now it's measured. Now you can know, now you can, you can't see individual other credit unions data, but you could see aggregate data, anonymized data, so that you can, you know, design products to better serve the types of communities that you're trying to design a product to serve, or different things.
So Here's a devil's advocate question for you, Sam.
Sure.
So I'm XYZ Credit Union, and I'm doing all right. I'm giving to charities, and I'm serving the community. I'm doing all this really cool stuff. Why would I want to embark on something like this? What's the why here for me and helping me better serve my members here?
I think the only why not, which I think is a valid why not, would be if you have negative member benefit and you want to tell your board why, would be because I think it's a sort of like North Star for what it means to be successful as a credit union. You know, like credit unions are different than banks. Credit unions do not exist to maximize profit. And so if you're running your credit union and I hate using this term, but I'm going to say like KPIs are all profit based KPIs. Yeah. You're going to behave just like a bank. I think that critique is accurate. Mm-hmm. And so I think it is important that people measure, benchmark, and try and improve how much benefit they provide their members and the impact they have on the community.
Oh, completely. Yeah. It gives you like you said earlier, a much more accurate, much more clearer picture of what you're doing and what can be done or what adjustments that can be made to do stuff better. So yeah, it's totally.
Yeah. I think the sort of like, you have to measure it to improve it is true. Like if you don't know what the number is, you could sort of suspect that you're providing a big benefit, but if you don't actually have a way of quantifying it, how can you track it and know that you're actually doing a better job?
Yeah, exactly. So where can folks find out more about this new software, and does it have a name, or is it just one of the cool things that CU Collaborate offers?
We have so many different things now. I think we've tentatively called it Analyze CU, but I think we may just end up calling it like Analytics. But right now we're calling it Analyze CU. Okay. We're hosting a webinar on, I believe, January 14th, that will go over not just like the software, obviously, but also how, if you don't want to subscribe to the software, just like how all this data is in your ARIES file. And sorry, it is January 18th.
Oh, 18th? Okay. Write that down.
But there's credit unions of all sizes could calculate these things themselves. Our software makes it much easier, but this isn't like a thing that there's complicated math, but you have the data necessary to quantify all this. There's nothing sort of like special to it. Absolutely. It uses the ARIES file, which, you know, credit unions of all sizes have to produce. Every core can produce it with a click of a button.
Okay.
It is accessible to all, basically.
Right on. Well, and the more, as we all know, you know, the more data you have, the better off you're going to be, and being able to analyze it in an efficient way, again, to make those proper adjustments is just a total benefit to the credit union and ultimately to the member. So yeah, for sure. So good stuff here, Sam. Anything else here to add to wrap up here? Any final thoughts?
I mean, the other things I'll say is like, God, I'm going to do a shameless plug, but it also helps people track their low income designation. So if they want to attain or retain a low income designation, it does that. It helps credit unions figure out if they can be a candidate for CDFI.
Oh, really? Okay.
And track that too. It has all the like CDFI business logic built into it. Okay. And it does like, it models the full demographics of a credit union's membership. So if they want to know, you know, race, ethnicity, income, language spoken at home, educational attainment, you know, all these different things about the demographics of their members, which that did come up from, quite frankly, consulting engagements where we would ask credit unions what the demographics of their members were, many of them did not know. And so we kind of need to know that to do a number of the different things we do. So we made that, but then it can help you track sort of like the demographics of the people you serve overall by product, compare that to whatever communities you want to compare to, whether it's your field of membership or, you know, your statistical area, whatever it might be. And then I think in the long run, what I'm really excited about is benchmarking. You know, I think the thing that is great about public data sets is that you have data on everyone, whether they're a participant, like a client of the company or not. We are building a data set that is not public. So it it's sort of like a network or platform effect, where the more people who participate and share their data, the more valuable the tools become to everyone.
Yeah.
But we already have a ton of credit unions participating, which is great. So it's, we've already sort of like hit the tipping point, if you will. But benchmarking, we'll be able to do benchmarking of all sorts of things in more or less sort of like real time, which will be really exciting. Mm-hmm. And then predictive modeling. We're building like a branch performance predictive model where we're going to be able to sort of like forecast number of members, number of each product, balance of each product by branch, and help. We had one of our larger clients ask us to build it to help set goals for branch managers. It's like a sort of like independent third party data driven approach, rather than the like, I mean, I have to set goals for our salespeople, and you know, salespeople want the goals to be lower and the managers want to set them to be fair, let's say. It is normal to have competing interests in how sales goals are set. And so I think that's helpful. But I also think it's helpful. We have some clients who, I would just say, just you look at their branch network and you know one of them is in the wrong place, sort of. And if we can just sort of accurate predictive modeling, be able to say, look, this branch where it is, if it's run by the number one branch manager in the country, it's sort of only ever realistic to see it be achieve this. And if you put another branch over there, it could achieve that.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a better way to allocate your resources to, again, maximize the impact you have for in your community. And
well, yes, but and a branch is certainly an investment. So you got to make a...
Yeah.
You got to make it count, so to speak. So yeah, some good stuff here. Hey, before I let you go, I have to give a big shout out to David Bauman, your editor.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. He puts out the best content. I subscribe to your newsletter. So every day I get some really juicy story from David that I love to share to folks out there. So kudos to David and your crew over there at CU Collaborate for crushing it. It sounds like 2023 is going to be an exciting year for you guys once again. So keep up the good work there, Sam. It's really
I'm really excited. One thing I'm going to also throw in is a complete flyer, but if there are any credit unions who are interested in like how credit unions and healthcare providers could collaborate to both drive huge amounts of growth in terms of acquiring new members and loans, but also helping particularly people on sort of like the fringe afford healthcare, make healthcare more affordable.
Great idea.
Let me know. We're launching a QSO this year. I've recruited this amazing person. Actually, I'll probably ask you to have us on again.
But Paul
Matsui, who is so impressive and awesome to lead that company. If anyone's interested, drop me a line. Trying to get that off and running, and I think particularly looking at credit unions that work with like health systems or already have sort of existing relationships with healthcare providers.
I'm writing that down. So right on. I'll include that in the show notes as well as your contact info so they can reach out and give you a shout, and when you guys are ready, let me know. I'll have you guys on and we'll have a chat, see how you guys are gonna benefit the industry even further.
Awesome. All right. Thank you very much,
Michael. All right, Sam. Well, thanks again. Appreciate it, everybody. Sam Brownell from CU Collaborate. Go check it out. They got some fantastic information out there. And sign up for their newsletter because David crushes it every day. So anyway, thanks again, Sam. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. You are.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.
Has there been a point in your journey where you felt like giving up?
Daily, you know, yeah. I mean, but very short-lived. Yeah. I had the curse of you just I couldn't quit.